You hear that? That's opportunity. Better jump on board. Make your business part of Velocity Radio. Get more info at velocityradio.fm.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land.
Welcome to Tooth Talk tonight, folks, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. We have a dynamite program scheduled tonight. We've got two periodontists, myself, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, talking to a pediatric dentist. So we got the P's covered tonight. Brad Smith has been a pediatric dentist here in Colorado for the past 32 years. Kenny, you've known him probably most of your career. Why don't you tell me when you first met Brad and how that came to be, and then we'll find a little bit more about Brad and how long he's been in Colorado and how he got here and a little bit about his practice, and then we'll get into some questions relative to kids, dentistry, when they should see the dentist, things like that.
Yeah, you know, Doug, I've known Brad for a long time, but I can't even remember because it's so far back. When I first met him, maybe Brad can remember it.
I do.
So he'll enlighten us. But what a pleasure it is to have him here. I do have a disclosure I do have to make, because Dr. Brad Smith treated both of my daughters. One who's 37, the other is 33 years old. So when they were kids,
that can't be.
When they were kids.
So basically, we're talking to two old guys. Yeah, is really what
right,
we're saying.
That's right. But when they were kids, I really want our listeners to hear this. I certainly sought out the very best dentist that could help them with any of their dental needs, and that's why we went to Brad's office. So I think our listening audience is going to be in for a lot of enlightenment about when they should take their kids to the dentist, how the kids should be treated at the dentist. It's going to be a fun evening, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I would tell you, when I came to town, you know, you come in as a new guy and you really don't know anybody. And you try and find the guys that really are going to be good mentors, that take great care of people and patients. And, you know, that when I first started, there was just a small group of guys that I remember you telling me you got to meet and you got to see and you got to get to know. Brad, I'm sorry you weren't on that list, but no. So Brad was one of those guys, and he's got a dynamite practice. He's got some partners in with him. He'll probably tell us a little bit about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about what they do, how they can help their patients and things like that. So,
you know, Doug, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at both you and Brad at the broadcast table. And I got to believe that Brad is the ideal patient ideal person for us to interview on the radio, because he has a face for radio.
Yeah. I've been told that before.
That's right, right. We all do, don't we?
Well, Ken, let me tell you, when I came to town, I had graduated from the University of Michigan, both my dental training and my pediatric residency, and I joined an older pediatric dentist by the name of Dave Stone. And Dave was a Denver native, grew up here, went to school here, and had become friends with a very internationally known dentist by the name of Miles Markley. And you guys all know that name.
Sure.
Many of our listeners might not, because Miles passed away back in the 1980s. But Miles had sold his practice to a very skilled young dentist by the name of David Hartman. And David Hartman had graduated from the University of Michigan the year that I matriculated. So I met Dave Hartman through Miles Markley, and got to be friends with Dave, and Dave gave me a lot of steering, so to speak, mentoring regarding, you know, who I should work with in terms of the best practitioners in town. And it was Dave that sent me to you and said, you can't go anywhere else.
You mean I'm indebted to Dave?
You're indebted to Dave.
That's pretty tough. Yeah.
But that's how the connection came about.
I'm glad you remember that.
I remember it distinctly.
I vaguely remember. But you know what? We've told the audience that truly it's an honor to have you here. I'd like to tell them a little bit about some of the things that you have done in your career, particularly in giving back to the dental community and to the profession. I know you've been very involved in the Metropolitan Denver Dental Society, the Colorado Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, and even more impressive, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. I know you were on their board of trustees on a national level, and that you currently serve as a board examiner for the Board of Pediatric Dentistry, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that means that when pediatric dentists want to become board certified, which is the highest honor that any specialist can really achieve, you're the ones giving the exam and testing them and determining if they qualify. I mean, what an honor that is, but it takes a special person to be able to do that.
It is an honor, and I find it stimulating, and it's at this point in my career, it's really fun to see the level of talent that's coming into the field of pediatric dentistry. Our graduate students are phenomenal. They're just sharp as a tack, and they test very well. So it's stimulating. It's exciting. It's nice to see such high quality people coming into pediatric dentistry.
Yeah, but those examiners, that's a pretty exclusive club, isn't it?
Well, I like to think so. Some of the candidates may not feel that way, but it's a very, very.
So nationally, how many would there be?
This is about 100.
Okay.
So, it's the examiners. Those are very interesting, knowledgeable people who have a lot of experience. And that's the point is they've set the examinations up so that, no one candidate gets tested by one examiner. Each candidate will have, four examiners throughout the process of their oral examination. And as a result, there's less, bias in the whole system. And there's some really fabulous people. That's great. It's fun. Yeah, that's very
really
stimulating.
Cool. The last thing that I want to comment on your credentials, which I also find extremely impressive, is that currently you're the president of the medical staff at Children's Hospital here in Colorado.
That's right.
And Children's Hospital, as most of our listeners may be aware, is one of the most renowned institutions in the country. Just a fabulous place for children to receive care.
I love to toot the horn. They've been in the top 10 nationally for years now.
Yes. But what's very unique is, as a dentist, you are president of the entire medical staff. I just think, Brad, that just really is a testament to the type of individual and professional that you are.
Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate you saying that. I was humbled and stunned when they proposed my name for that presidency, and I have to say, every day I go over there and I work with the physicians, the nurses, the staff there, and I continue to be humbled to be able to work there. They're great people doing fabulous work for children. The level of expertise they bring is a huge benefit to our community. Our kids get wonderful care there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nationally known care, and that's if you want what's best for your children. It's great to have Children's Hospital of Colorado right here.
And are you the first dentist to ever have that title?
105-year history of the hospital. I'm the first dentist to do that.
That's unbelievable. And you teach also in the residency program as well.
Yep, I teach part-time at the Pediatric Dental Center at Children's Hospital. The pediatric dentists in training are there, and that's a lot of fun. Very interesting experience. Lots and lots of kids, lots of interesting clinical situations. And I'll tell you, that's a great place for kids to get care.
Well, tell our audience about, define for us what is a pediatric dentist and what you have to do to obtain that specialty.
Well, a pediatric dentist is a specialist in dentistry for infants, children, adolescents, and the handicapped. So we see patients from essentially birth through 18, 19, 20 years old or so. As you know, in order to be a specialist in dentistry, you have to finish your 4 years of dental school and then an additional residency training of 2 or 3 years, just like periodontics. And then you are eligible to be a specialist, whether it's pediatric dentistry like myself or periodontics for you or any of the other specialties of dentistry.
Yeah, I can remember we've seen a number of your patients, and they come back from college.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to them, and they're still coming back to see you guys. They don't want to give up on you.
Well, you know,
folks.
What we've done, and I'm interested to get your take on this. We see kids through high school, and we tell parents we see them through high school. But when they finish high school, if they want to just come in and get their teeth cleaned, then we're certainly glad to do that. We are not general dentists, so I don't do periodontal surgery. I don't do endodontics. I don't do cosmetic porcelain work. A lot of the stuff that general dentists do day in and day out. And as long as the kids don't need any of that, then we're happy to have them continue in our practice. When a young person goes to a new dentist, the new dentist has to reestablish the whole base of records. And so there's a cost to going in and becoming a new patient in a practice that many college students wouldn't necessarily need to expend. So we tell parents that if it's convenient and the kids don't have any adult-style problems, that they're more than welcome to come in and get their teeth cleaned during college. Once they finish college, we're going to say it's time to go. But as a convenience, we don't want them to switch to a new dentist in college and then switch again when they leave college and move off to wherever they're going to go.
Yeah, well, my experience isn't that it's tied to money relative to them leaving. I think they really like you guys. They've gotten to know you.
Yeah.
They really appreciate the quality of the care, and they stick around because they know what they're going to get.
You know, that brings up something interesting, though. The joy of dentistry is not so much in the mechanical things that we do with our hands, that the restorations and the work and the surgical procedures. I find that challenging, but that's not the joy of it. The joy of it is really the people that we get to help. And when I have a patient that I've seen since 1 or 2 years of age, and now they're 19 or 20, and we're talking about college and their major and what they're going to study and what they hope to do, it's really very, very gratifying.
Yeah, you've seen their whole lives.
Yeah, their whole lives.
You've watched them grow and develop.
I had a patient today. She's 14. And we always take pictures of our patients on their first visit. And we pull out the file, and we pulled out the picture of her when she came in for her first visit. Her mother burst into tears. I mean, this girl's 14, and she's on the volleyball team, and she's probably 5'9 or something like that. And we pulled out this picture of this cute little 3-year-old, her mother just burst into tears. It was great.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
We gave her the picture.
That's really cool. You know, as I think about my two daughters and as how they went through their childhood and adolescent years, I don't know that if you have an exact number, but I'm sure the percentage has increased tremendously over time. Just off the top of your head, pull a number out of the air. How many of your patients do you think, when you transition them to an adult dentist, how many of those kids have never had a cavity?
Oh, it's a very high percentage, like well over 80%.
Wow.
It's a lot. And when I say, and I'm talking about cavities in their permanent dentition, we see a lot of patients who have cavities in the primary dentition and then none in their permanent dentition. And that speaks to the preventive aspects of dentistry. You know, kids that come in and get their teeth cleaned every 6 months and have fluoride treatments and have sealants and have routine care statistically get very few cavities. I heard a statistic years ago that 96% of dentist children have no cavities and in their permanent teeth. And the point of that is they can avail themselves of care quite easily. Well, any patient could do that as well. And when the patients have been coming in on a regular basis, they benefit by a hugely reduced rate of decay.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because as I go around and talk to the younger dentists who are starting practices, they say that there's a little bit of difficulty in getting started because they're seeing a bunch of patients, but they're not doing much work on them because they're not having that same caries rate, and they're not having the same workload that
there is in, especially in pediatric dentistry. There's a huge demographic issue with caries. It's clearly the lower 20% of the socioeconomic scale gets about 80% of the decay we see, and so that is a huge issue. And there's lots and lots of caries to be treated, lots of kids with cavities, which is very sad. And unfortunately, it's the most those who have least access to the system.
Well,
the most vulnerable, so to speak.
We're coming up on a break pretty quickly, Brad. But when we do come back, One of the things that I'd like you to explain to the listening audience is what causes the cavities and what you do in your practice to prevent cavities from occurring. And I also, just to prepare you, and I don't like to coach you too much, but I'd like you to be prepared to talk about why it's important to treat those babies.
Oh, sure. That's easy.
Great.
Thank you.
Good. So we'll look forward to hearing some answers to those questions when we return.
Hey there, I'm one of your potential customers, but I'm not going to be able to find you because when I type your name into a search engine, you're one of thousands upon thousands of businesses I see, all with great customer service. How am I going to find you? Instead, make your business stand out with Get Found Fast, using technology and marketing, getting your name out there, and getting people in your door. Get your name out there today at GetFoundFast.com.
Get found fast, get found fast, get found fast.com.
Get found
fast.
GetFoundFast.com.
Hey all, it's Sean from Velocity Radio. I wanted to introduce you to the Denver Message Board, Colorado's number one dedicated forum to discuss politics, entertainment, news, events, and more. Join Colorado's online community today by signing up for free at thedenvermessageboard.com. Again, that's denvermessageboard.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 888-98-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
Call 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
Enright Companies has been providing the state of Colorado with complete asphalt paving and concrete services since 1989. And customer satisfaction is their number one priority. The professionals at Enright have expert knowledge and experience in asphalt paving and more, and will provide their customers with unbeatable quality at affordable prices. So if you're in need for full service asphalt paving, concrete work, or commercial snow removal, get a free estimate today at 303-433-8822. That's 303-433-8822. Or visit them online at InRightAsphalt.com.
This is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. And we've got our guest, Dr. Brad Smith, right before the break. Kenny, you gave Brad some homework to think about relative to caries rates on babies' teeth, why we should treat them, when we should treat them, when someone should come see the dentist.
And what causes cavities? And I'd like to start with that.
Yeah, let's start with that. So the real misconception in our society is that cavities are considered to be a sugar disease, and that's not true. Cavities are a bacterial disease. We certainly know that too much sugar can feed the bacteria and promote dental cavities, but cavities are caused by the bacteria. The bacteria that cause cavities can metabolize many types of food, specifically processed carbohydrates. So most food that you put in the mouth has the ability to support the bacteria that cause cavities. Now, one of the issues that people ask about is, well, why do some kids get cavities and others not, like their own children? They might have four children, two of whom seem to get cavities, two of whom don't. And the point is that Some people have more of the specific kind of bacteria that causes dental decay than other people have. And that's why some people are able to be sloppier, so to speak, with their diet and not get cavities. And other kids seem to get cavities no matter what they do. That's very frustrating for parents.
Well, you talk about bacteria, and we all know about the common cold, which usually is a virus, but that you can catch a cold from someone else. Yeah, are these bacteria transmissible from child to child, from parent to child?
Usually it's parent to child. And so, in fact, there was a great study done that did a DNA analysis of a grandparent, a parent, and then the child. And there's a vertical transmission between all three of the exact same bacteria. And it has to do with the intimate contact that a caregiver has with the child. You know, when you have a baby and you're feeding it, maybe 6 months old, their first solid food, and so you take a spoonful of rice cereal that you've heated up with hot water or maybe in the microwave, and you blow on it with your breath, and then maybe you touch it to your lips to make sure it's not too hot before you give it to your child. That's a very kind thing to do. But you've just inoculated your child with the bacteria from your own mouth. When a child's when a child is born, their mouth is sterile. And all of the bacteria they get come from outside throughout the course of their childhood. So if a parent has cavities, they predispose their children to have cavities. And if the parent has active decay, then that's even a bigger risk.
So it's not necessarily a genetic predisposition as much as it is the transmission or the child.
That's exactly right.
These bacteria in their mouths. And then the food that we take in, the bacteria thrive on.
Right.
We were always taught in dental schools, it's still being taught, that those bacteria then take those food particles, turn them into an acidic type of environment.
Lactic acid.
And that then in turn causes decay in the enamel.
Right. That's exactly right.
Right.
And people don't realize, you know, a lot of parents will give their kids pretzels or crackers or things that are low sugar or low fat and think that that's a good snack. And while they are low sugar and low fat, the carbohydrate breaks down into sugars very quickly in the mouth. And so if the kids are nibblers, if they're grazers that run to the cupboard every 2 hours or so, all they're doing is providing an acid bath for their teeth. It's very, very hard. So our general recommendations for diet are that the kids should have 3 meals a day and no more than one snack in between each meal. And a snack is defined as whatever you put in your mouth. So one potato chip has the ability to feed the bacteria that make acids, just like a whole bowl full of potato chips.
But at the same time, you know, we talked about this before the break, and we said that the caries rate is really down in general. So,
well, in general, but there's a segment of our population who,
right,
who has very, very high caries rates, and that has to do with diet. It has to do with oral hygiene, lack of care at an early age, all those factors. Really, yeah. Dental decay is a multifactorial issue. It's not just one thing. And we're talking about the bacteria, which is a primary cause, but it's not the only thing.
So let's talk about how parents can prevent decay.
Great.
For their children.
Well, the first thing they do is begin care early. So I tell parents that they, as soon as the teeth break through the gums, they should start cleaning them. And whether they're using a toothbrush or a washcloth on their finger, or a small 2x2 cotton gauze on their finger, just something to rub on the teeth to break up the plaque is very, very helpful. What is bad for the teeth from a cavity standpoint is to let that plaque mature on the teeth for long periods of time. That's when the acids can really build up.
And when you say clean the teeth, what type of frequency are we talking about?
Twice a day.
Okay, twice a day.
Yeah, twice a day
similar
minimum.
Similar to adults, similar to our patients.
Twice a day minimum.
Now, during pregnancy, how about fluoride supplements for the mother?
There's no evidence that would be beneficial. In fact, the research that's been done, there was some talk of that in the 1980s and 90s, but the primary teeth don't start to calcify until late in the pregnancy. And so there's no research that would be advantageous.
And the primary teeth, those are the baby teeth.
Yes, correct.
Now, you know, I have two young kids, but
yes.
I'm sure you're aware.
I am.
Two and a half and one and a half. And I remember I was talking to your partner, Dr. Rubenstrunk, because I was always like, my kids' teeth are not erupting. at the times where the charts say they should erupt. And when I talk to Johnny, he's like, you know, they come in at different times. They come in.
The charts are averages.
Yeah, averages. And you don't need to worry about that. But I can tell you as a new parent, most new parents worry about, hey, is this normal? Is it not normal? So tell us a little bit about kind of what's that normal eruption pattern, or what should we look for to know that, A, there's a problem, or B, we need to get in to see you, or at what time we need to get in to see
great,
you guys?
Great question. So the first primary tooth erupts at about age 7 months. Usually it's the bottom two lower front incisors. And after that, at about 9 months, the upper two front incisors. Now, that's an average. The oldest patient I've ever had in my practice who didn't have any teeth was 2 years old, no teeth at all. And those teeth, then the permanent or the primary teeth, the baby teeth, started erupting after that, and they all came in and they were all fine. So that patient was just genetically wired to erupt their teeth late. So when we talk about averages, it's just that. It's an average. And some kids are early. I've seen kids at 4 months with teeth starting to come in.
Yeah, there's been kids that have been born with teeth, too. So
that's a different issue, though. It's a little bit of a problem.
Right. So, if my kids, let's say their teeth erupted at a later stage, does that then mean that their permanent teeth are going to erupt at a later stage?
Generally, if the primary teeth come in late, then the permanent teeth will tend to be late as well. That's not wrong, and it's not bad. It's just the way it is.
Just is. So for the parents out there, it's not anything to be alarmed.
No, not at all.
Okay. And the second part of that question, and I think we had talked about it very, very curtly, is at what point should we be bringing our kids in to see the pediatric dentist so that you guys get a chance to see him and analyze what's going on?
Well, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry and the American Academy of Pediatrics both recommend an age one dental visit. And the purpose of that is not to do anything for the child. It's really to provide what's called anticipatory guidance. We know that the window of infectivity when the children get the bacteria that cause cavities is usually between 12 months and 24 months. And so if we can see the kids right around their first birthday, we can give the parents strategies for preventing cavities. And one of those strategies is the early brushing we talked about. The second strategy is to talk about when to start introducing fluoride toothpaste. You know, we don't want children to swallow a lot of fluoride, but we don't want to get cavities either. And so generally, somewhere between 12 and 24 months, under strict parental supervision, it's appropriate to introduce fluoride toothpaste. But we don't want them swallowing. It needs to be very, very carefully administered. Another issue has to do with bottle feeding. Kids that sleep with the bottle or nurse all night predispose themselves to decay because of the liquid that gets caught under the labial vestibule right in front of the upper front teeth. That liquid can sit there all night long and cause cavities very early. The earliest patient I've ever had with a cavity was 6 months old. I've had several 12-month-old patients with cavities, and I routinely see kids 18 months and older with dental decay. Now, a baby tooth is just like a permanent tooth. It has a nerve in it, and when the bacteria breaks down the tooth, it gets down to the nerve and it hurts. Well, none of us would ever want our children to hurt. So just for that reason, we want to prevent cavities. And if children get cavities, we would want to treat it so they don't hurt. But even more than that, we don't want infection to spread in the face. So if a baby tooth becomes truly infected from the bacteria, the infection could be a medical risk, very severe. In fact, children have died from dental infections. And the baby teeth act as the guide for the proper eruption of the permanent teeth. So from an orthodontic standpoint, we like the baby teeth to be there so they can properly help guide the permanent teeth into their proper position.
Yeah, good natural spacers.
Right.
And you mentioned orthodontics. We'll probably talk a little bit about that on the next segment or one of the following segments, because I'm interested in your take on that. Getting to the dentist, what should the parent expect as kind of the participant in having them come in? Are they typically with the child, or is that something that's going to need a little longer answer?
No, I can give you a quick answer for that. In our practice, and I think in most pediatric practices, the parent would be with any infant. The parent would always be there. And in our practice, parents are with us for virtually everything we do for any patient. We'll talk more about that after the break, then.
All the way through adolescence?
Sure, if they want to.
If they want to.
Yeah, I mean, I had a 13-year-old in an A, and Mom wanted to sit with us, and I thought, great, I love to have parents with us. And if she'd rather sit out and have a cup of coffee in the reception room, that's fine, too.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're with Dr. Brad Smith. You can tell why we invited him to be on our show. This man is the expert, and we'll talk about a lot more right after the break.
Come and enjoy a day-making experience at Love Hair Color and Design, where day-making is our passion. At our salon, you'll receive one-on-one attention with one of our highly qualified artists. Whether you're looking for hair color, a new style, or a facial, Love Hair Color and Design is committed to your experience, and we know we can make your day. We're located at 6750 South Cornerstar Way in the Cornerstar Shopping Center. Our phone number is 303-690-4247. Love Hair Color and Design, where day-making is our passion.
Hello, I am Miriam, your Let's Get Healthy host, here to introduce to you a new program called a health coach. Imagine working with a health coach. Do you even know what a health coach is? Can you imagine having your own personal health coach? It will change your life. Are you struggling with compulsive eating, struggling with weight loss or weight gain? Are you on medication, but you are not getting the results that you would like to see? As having a health coach, we're able to assist you in the areas that would improve your life. For more information, you can contact Miss Odessa, your health coach, at 720-530-5656.
This is Cindy Cosworth. At Car Connections, we are dedicated to relieving the stress and strain of getting your next vehicle, be it new or used, any make, any model. My father, Mike, and I offer personal service to find you the vehicle that you want within your budget. Catch our show, Automotively Speaking, here on CastleRockRadio.com, live 1 p.m. on Fridays.
Enright Companies has been providing the state of Colorado with complete asphalt paving and concrete services since 1989. And customer satisfaction is their number one priority. The professionals at Enright have expert knowledge and experience in asphalt paving and more, and will provide their customers with unbeatable quality at affordable prices. So if you're in need for full service asphalt paving, concrete work, or commercial snow removal, get a free estimate today at 303-433-8822. That's 303-433-8822. Or visit them online at InRightAsphalt.com.
This is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. We're both periodontists in the Denver Aurora area. If you need to find out a little bit more about us, www.periodontalhealth.com. And if any people want to call in and talk to our guest, pediatric dentist extraordinaire, Dr. Brad Smith, the call-in number, local number, 303-565-4311, or call toll-free, 1-888-321-7234. Brad, what we were talking about, orthodontics, we were just starting to get into some of that. And I know from being around, I see a lot of different patients at different ages really kind of entering that area of dentistry. And before we'd gotten on the show, we had talked very, very quickly about two-stage orthodontics, one-stage, where we kind of had a little question about that. And maybe you could shed your experience with that.
As a pediatric dentist, growth and development is a big part of our training. So we are deeply knowledgeable of craniofacial growth from birth all the way through adolescence. As part of that training, I'm trained in orthodontics, and every pediatric dentist gets orthodontic training. Also, as a specialist, I know that it's hard to be an expert in everything. So in a town like Denver, where we have orthodontists who are trained in orthodontic procedures and they do it day in and day out, they really do braces better than I can do it part-time. So in my practice, I do a lot of orthodontic-type procedures to help a child who's developing a problem. But ultimately, I need to have the skills of an orthodontic specialist to properly give the best care for that child. So I frequently will see 6-, 7-, 8-, 9-year-old children who are developing problems, and we'll consult with the parents about the nature of the problem, talk about any interceptive-type procedures that we might provide if it's efficient, or refer them over to an orthodontist if we feel it's appropriate. And that gets to the second part of your question, which is whether you do braces once or twice. The genesis of that is pretty interesting. In the last 30 years, there was some pretty good research that showed that some orthodontic problems can get a better end result if you treat the patient twice, once when they're 7 or 8 or 9, and then a second time when you're when they're 12 or 13 and the rest of the permanent teeth have come in. Now, that's only about, 15% of the population truly benefits from that dual-phase treatment. There are other times when two-phase treatment might be helpful, but the question always is, do we need to do braces early in order to get the best end result at 13 or 14? And for the majority of patients, It's one time, just at age 11 or 12 or 13 when the permanent teeth have all come in. One stage orthodontics at that time usually can get to the same end result. But there are some situations where, there's a skeletal discrepancy in the positioning of the jaws or the teeth are so poorly aligned that during an early phase of braces can end up with a better end result.
Right, right.
But as a pediatric dentist, I know you do a lot of things to sort of guide some tooth eruption so that it minimizes the extent and the difficulty of doing the orthodontics later.
That's right. And we take great pride in doing that. We love it, and then the orthodontists love it because it really makes their job much, much easier, and it makes the patient's experience much easier. So there are some simple things that we can do, holding teeth in the proper position if a baby tooth is lost early, repositioning a tooth or two if they're just a couple of crooked teeth. Sometimes that can be a fairly easy thing to do that can save the patient from having more expensive treatment. So there are some interceptive minor tooth movement procedures we do that can really set the patient up for a great result with an easier experience.
I want to go back to one thing we talked in the prior segment because I think it's so important for the people to hear. It's so easy to want to try and do something to help the child go to sleep. And one of those things is to give them a bottle of milk. And I think most parents probably at some time have been guilty of doing that at bedtime, and yet that can be devastating to the teeth.
So I'm cowering right now.
And Ken, you're nailing it.
I know. So I want you to talk a little bit more about that because I want this message to really be heard.
Well, it's good that you bring that up. As the parent of four children, I've had a lot of nights where I really need to get to sleep and my kids are up. And as a parent, you really want to do something to get them to go to sleep. And it's very tempting if the kids fall asleep with a bottle in their mouth to want to do that. But it's not worth the expense and pain and difficulty of treating the baby teeth if they decay. And so when I have a parent who's in that situation, who says, my baby is used to going to sleep with a bottle, I don't know how I'm going to get her to sleep, then what I'll tell them to do is to rock the child in their arms, let them go to sleep with the bottle, take the bottle out, and then wipe underneath their lip with a gauze or a washcloth and wipe out the excess milk or whatever was in the bottle to make sure that the teeth are clean before they put the baby down. If the baby has to have a bottle in the actual crib, then water only. And water will never cause decay. So they can take a bottle of water to sleep at night until they go to college, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, we're talking about milk, and I don't think many parents realize that milk has that much sugar in it.
Yeah.
You know, the big...
lactose.
Yeah, the big no-no has always been the juice.
Well, that's right.
You know, orange juice, apple juice, and that was... what we were always told to keep away.
Juice is nutritional because it's got vitamins and nutrients. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 3 to 6 ounces of juice for the average 3 or 4 year old. Well, 3 ounces of juice is like, 2 inches in a cup. It's not much at all. So a lot of well-meaning parents don't realize that by giving their kids juice three or four times a day, they're really giving them a bath of fructose, which is fruit sugar, over their teeth. And it's not good for their teeth at all because it stimulates all that acid production.
Right, right. When we started this thing, you know, we kind of jumped you because we had you here, and we started asking you a million questions about pediatrics. But before we continue, I want to hear a little bit about, you know, I know you work with three other very talented dentists, pediatric dentists. So tell us a little bit about your practice, where it's located, what makes you guys so unique, and why everybody and really respects what you guys do and look to you guys as the leaders in pediatric dentistry.
I think that the key thing is that, you know, when you're putting your hands on a child, it's the daughter, son or daughter of the parents that love them dearly. And we feel strongly that we want the parents to feel comfortable with how we put our hands on their children. And that's why we're never afraid to have them in our operatory watching everything we do. We want them to feel comfortable. And if things are difficult, then I want to have the parents part of the process in making a decision as to how to proceed. My own children have had various medical procedures over the years. And as you watch physicians work with your children, some of them you like and maybe some you don't like so much. And so I keep that in the back of my mind that I want the parents to feel confident that their child is going to be treated respectfully. And ultimately, all four of us don't do anything for any patient that we wouldn't do for our own children. We basically treat our patients like we would treat our own children. And when we do that, I think our parents really, really appreciate it. I got to talk about my partners too. I don't want to let that slip by. I came into practice in 1981, July of 1981, and I joined an older pediatric dentist, very nice man named Dave Stone, and he retired in 1987, and I practiced alone for a year. It was a very long year because he left me with a busy practice. And in 1988, my brother Scott Smith. I graduated from the University of Michigan's pediatric dental residency, and he came and joined me as an associate and then very quickly became my partner. And we were happily practicing at our office on East Hampton Avenue, just east of I-25, when we were approached by a group of pediatricians who were building an office down near Park Meadows Mall on the south side of town. And they basically wanted to have a pediatric medical center that would have pediatric medical and pediatric dental specialists. And so they offered us the opportunity to join them in that project. And while we didn't want to leave the practice we were in, we felt we couldn't turn down that such a great opportunity. And that was Greenwood Pediatrics and 5280 Pediatrics were the two pediatrician groups, two of the three largest pediatrician groups in the state. And so we decided to bring on a partner, and that's John Rubenstrunk. He was the number one draft choice from Ohio State. As a Michigan grad, that was hard to swallow.
You guys could get along?
Yeah, we can get along.
You couldn't find a Hawkeye?
We tried, and we just couldn't get one. So anyway.
Beggars can't be choosers.
That's right. John came and joined us, and with the three docs, we were then able to handle the two offices. And so we've had two offices since the year 2000. Actually, it was 2001 when we moved in. And in the interim time, we started teaching part-time at Children's Hospital of Colorado in their pediatric residency program. And 'cause several years ago, one of the residents that came through was one of the sharpest residents we'd seen ever. She was smart, mature, talented, composed, and that's Dr. Naomi Lane. And so she, when she finished her program, we offered her a position as an associate in our practice, and currently we're hoping to complete a partnership agreement by July 1st.
Now, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, our office phone number in our Denver office is 303-758-6057, and our Park Meadows office is 303-799-1872.
Website?
At www.southmorekids.com.
And for our listeners, don't panic, because when we come back after this last break, we're going to have Dr. Smith repeat those phone numbers so that everybody has a chance to get some paper and pencil and write it down. So we'll look forward to coming back and asking you some more questions.
Great.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you.
Are you looking for tools to help you and your family cope with your divorce? Try Mommy and Daddy Are Getting a Divorce. This parent-child book outlines the emotional reactions that children go through during a divorce process. It does so in a thoughtful, easy-to-follow format that allows parents to touch on a difficult subject with their elementary-age kids. If your children are teenagers, try Families Cope with Divorce, the Teenage Series. This video interviews children of divorce as they speak frankly and openly about their experience of divorce. The video offers numerous pearls of wisdom to adults and teens about how to traverse the divorce process in a manageable way. These teens have learned how to survive and thrive through their parents' divorce, and they share this wisdom with you in Families Cope with Divorce, the Teenage Series. Both Mommy and Daddy Are Getting Divorced and Families Cope with Divorce are available on Amazon.com or through our website at newbeginningscoparenting.com. Again, that's newbeginningscoparenting.com.
I'm Sean Drotar, host of The Scoreboard, weekdays at 5. And when I want to keep up on the Denver music scene, and I do, I tune into Velocity After 8 with DJ Miss Audrey, Fridays from 8 to 10 p.m., only on VelocityRadio.fm.
Hey, all, it's Sean from Velocity Radio. I wanted to introduce you to the Denver Message Board, Colorado's number one dedicated forum to discuss politics, entertainment, news, events, and more. Join Colorado's online community today by signing up for free at thedenvermessageboard.com. Again, that's denvermessageboard.com.
Hello, I'm Derwood Tate.
And I'm Nancy Tate.
And wake up to Coffee Talk every Tuesday morning from 7 to 8.
We will tour the different coffee and teas of the world.
So grab your morning cup of coffee or tea and join us as we explore the wonderful world of coffee and tea.
There's no easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
This is Velocity Radio.
Y'all know what it is.
24/7 at velocityradio.fm.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. We'd like to thank the man in the bubble, Big Daddy Sean, for running the show tonight. And a special thank you to our guest, Dr. Brad Smith, pediatric dentist, where we were previously talking about. He's located, it has two different offices, a couple different numbers, however, one website. So we'll get that information out again right now.
So our website is www.southmorekids.com. That's SOUTHMOORkids.com. And our Denver office is 303-758-6057. And our Park Meadows office is 303-799-1872. But either office can connect you with either location.
Great. That's really convenient for people. That's great. And your Denver office is right, I know, it's right near Hampton and Monaco.
Just that block from Hampton and Monaco.
Yeah, very convenient, right off I-25. And then the Park Meadows one is just south of Dry Creek Road, correct?
Yeah, I like to tell people it's about a quarter mile to the west of that big, ugly IKEA that you can see from outer space.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it. I've never seen it. Anyhow, getting back to some of the pediatric questions, you know, one of the things I hear a lot from patients and parents is, if my tooth falls out, what should I do? Or if my kid's tooth falls out, what, get hit on the playground, get hit playing sports, what do I do?
Well, if it's a primary tooth, a baby tooth, we don't reimplant that. There's a virtually 0% chance that it'll retake. And the reason for that is that you have a developing permanent tooth up above. There's very frequently resorption that's started on that tooth. However, for permanent teeth, the success rate is very high for reimplanting permanent teeth. So if a child was to knock out their permanent tooth, some adult should rinse the tooth with water and put it back in the socket as quickly as possible, immediately if they can. And then see a dentist immediately.
And how about if they're not in a place where they have water?
You can transport it in milk, or you can transport it in saliva. Unfortunately, it takes a pretty big blow to knock a tooth out, and the patient is usually very distraught, and there's a lot of bleeding. So it's hard to get the patient to spit into a cup so you can have the patient's own saliva. But if the mother were to spit into a cup to put the tooth in their own saliva, that would be a better transport medium. Because what we don't want, and this is near and dear to your heart, we don't want the periodontal ligament fibers to dry out. Those periodontal ligament fibers on the outside of the root are precious. And if those are kept intact and moist, then the tooth can be reimplanted and they can actually heal. We tell parents to handle the tooth only by the crown. That's the part that sticks through the gums, and not to touch the root of the tooth if they can avoid it.
That's great information. Will that tooth generally at some point need a root canal?
Oh, yeah. Once the tooth has been knocked out, then they 100% will need a root canal. They don't need it immediately that day. Usually within 7 to 10 days, the root canal process needs to be started. But we definitely want to get the tooth reimplanted and get the healing of the periodontal ligament. And that means the tooth has to be stabilized with a brace.
Sure.
Before we get too close to the end of the show tonight, Brad, I'd like to ask you to explain, going back, why it's so important not only to have the child come in early to the pediatric specialist to treat or prevent problems, but also to gain the confidence of that child so that they don't have the fears that so many of the parents do.
Yeah. Oh, wait, in addition to that, why a pediatric dentist and not their general dentist?
Well, a pediatric dentist is uniquely qualified because we're uniquely trained. You know, our training above and beyond what a general dentist gets from dental school enables us to understand and work with a patient much more comfortably. And I think if you talk to any general dentist, they'll agree that, you know, while they may like treating kids, that the amount of time they are able to spend in a dental school curriculum working with children is usually pretty minimal. So get back to your other question. We talk about the anticipatory guidance of an age one dental visit, but the other point is that we want to count the kids to come in when there's nothing to do. We want them to come in and have a little fun and ride in a chair and we'll take a quick look. Generally, we do what's called a lap exam, where the child's on the parent's lap, and we just take a very quick look into their mouth, so it's non-threatening. And we want the patient to have a series of non-threatening, gentle visits so that they feel that the dentist can be a fun place to go to. And we're all about making it as easy as possible, even if we're doing the tough stuff. We're trying very hard to make it as easy as we can for each child.
That's key, because you know, in periodontics, we have a chance to see some children. Most of the people we see are adults, and so many of them have avoided going to the dentist for fear. And I understand that. We all understand that. But if we can minimize that in young ages, those fears don't develop.
It's amazing to me how many adults I speak to who talk about a discrete event 30 or 40 years ago where they went into a dentist and had a poor experience, and they remember it in great detail to this day, and they're happy to repeat it.
Oh, yeah, and it totally affects them.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy they're talking about 30 years from now that had some terrible experience. So we try very hard to give them a good relationship with us, followed up with good experiences.
And before we finish, I'd like you to talk about a very special person that we all adore, but you love dearly, and that's your wife, Barbara, who's been so supportive
she has been
of your career. So why don't you tell
the listeners about your wife, because she's really a neat lady.
She's a fabulous lady. I thought you would ask her here, not me. She and I met when we were both residents. She's a nurse anesthetist, a certified nurse anesthetist, and she was in training and was in the operating room at the University of Michigan Mott Children's Hospital when I was a resident and I was treating a patient under general anesthesia. And so we met literally at the operating room table, and she had on scrubs and a hat and mask and glasses, and I had on scrubs and a hat and mask and glasses. And
it was to your advantage.
That's true. From my standpoint, it was my advantage. But I thought, you know, with that, even with that mask on, she's pretty cute. I need to get to know her better. So we met over a patient, and several years later, we were married and out here. Raising kids. She still works as a nurse anesthetist. She is fabulous, by the way.
Yes, she is.
She has great skills.
I got a final question for you, and I want to know, is the Tooth Fairy real, and what is the going rate?
Well, the Tooth Fairy is real from family to family, exactly. And the going rate is about $2 a tooth here in the Denver area right now. The range is 50 cents to about $10. And the most I've ever heard a patient getting, believe it or not, is $100 for a tooth. Can you believe it?
That's
I have a hard time believing that one, but if you say so, I'll believe it.
And the American Academy of Pediatrics and Dentistry did a survey, and the city with the highest tooth fairy rates was Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Houston had the highest tooth fairy rates.
Well, great show, Brad. We really appreciate you taking the time tonight to be with us. We enjoyed it. Great information. And we look forward to getting you back in the future at some point.
Will you promise to come back, Brad?
Oh, yeah. I'll be back.
Great.
Maybe bring your wife.
Great. I will do that.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.